Money Plan SOS podcast episode 143. What happens to my credit score after I pay off debt? Hello and welcome to this episode of the Money Plan SOS podcast. I am Steve Stewart, your humble servant and personal finance architect who hates your debt more than you. And this is the show that helps the everyday American to what? To pay attention, not interest. We teach people how to build wealth, not a credit score. And today we're going to talk about what happens to credit scores once you pay off debt. But before we get started, I have to say thank you because we've had a bunch of new people start listening to the show in the last 30 days. You know, it was funny, the downloads dropped, but then they kicked up. And I can see that there's a lot of new people because we've got more iTunes reviews. In fact, I've gotten several five-star reviews. There's one from Alan Gregory. He's in Australia. We've got Chicago Val. Thank you very much. ETZ 1970, he says it's always great. JDB from Maine, Storage Machine from the United States, La Cressa from the United States, and a review from the host of my favorite new podcast to listen to, Cash Car Convert. That is very cool, and I am very grateful because the show has jumped up in the ratings. In fact, it was number 4 in the What's Hot category of investing for a few days there. And it just blows me away because this show is 3 years old. So thank you. Thank you very much for listening to the show. And for those of you who left a review, I really appreciate it because when you leave a review, whether it's in iTunes or in Stitcher, or I'm learning that in Stitcher, if you're listening and you hit that little thumbs up sign, it helps to rank the show better and rank it higher. And as we can see, new listeners are coming on board and they're being exposed to the message of hope that they can find debt freedom someday. It was my full intention to have Anthony Sprav from MyFICO.com on the show today to talk about FICO. Unfortunately, he hasn't returned any emails in the past couple weeks, and I think he is backed out of the interview. So I'm going to go ahead and talk without his representation. So I wish he was on the show. We could get his side of the story, but I'm going to go to bat for FICO today. I know that sounds a little weird because I have had a stance against FICO for quite a few years. But recently, I've come to realize that my beef really doesn't lie with FICO per se. It really lies with those who promote credit scores as some kind of a prosperity thing, that you're going to be better off financially by building your FICO score. So it's the Susie Ormans with her ding your credit score mantra, and it's the Liz Westons with her your credit score book, and it's the personal finance blogs who are trying to get out of debt themselves, and they recycle the same information that they're getting from everybody else. And it's not helping people get out of debt, it's helping them to maintain debt. So I may have been unfair to FICO and using them as the target when to look at their website, you actually realize that they don't promote debt. They do what they say they're going to do. They're going to sell you your score, or they're going to sell your information to a company who wants to evaluate you for a loan. Now, for me, I have a problem with that, with a company profiting from selling my personal banking information to somebody else who wants to loan me money. So I have a problem there. But I understand the whole credit score thing. The problem with the credit score, though, is that it's not a fair representation of all of your payments. The credit score as it stands today is not a representation of how you pay your bills as much as it is how you play with debt. Let me explain to you what I mean. The FICO score, the three-digit number that everybody is so worried about, is made up of 5 components. The algorithm is created by these 5 things. 15% of your score is evaluated on the length of your credit history. So it's how long have you had this credit card or how long have you had that student loan. 10% of your score is evaluated on how much new credit you have. 10% is based on the types of credit that you use, so the credit cards, the car loans, the student loans, whatever. 30%, this is a really big piece, 30% is how much money you owe, how much debt you have, and 35% is your payment history. That's all well and good, and that's what FICO is going to sell you, or it's going to sell a lender who wants to sell you money. But here's the problem. There's a lot of things that are not included in this number. If I wanted to prove my creditworthiness, say for a home mortgage, then I would want to be evaluated on my entire financial picture, wouldn't you? But this does not represent everything in your financial picture. There are some things that are left out, and they're left out on purpose because of a couple of laws. There's the Equal Opportunity Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the Consumer Credit Protection Act. Some of the things that are left out on purpose are your race, your color, your religion, your national origin, your sex, and your marital status. And that makes sense. That has nothing to do with how creditworthy you are. It also doesn't include your age or where you live or your title at the company that you work for. But then there's some things that, you know, you think that maybe somebody who's going to loan you money for a home might want to know, like your salary or your occupation, how long you've been employed at a company. Those are some pretty important things, wouldn't you say? Now, the bank, of course, is going to ask you for those pieces of information anyway, but it's not automatically included in your credit score. So let's go back again and talk about what those pieces of the pie were. The credit score. We've got the length of your credit history, and that's, of course, on debt products. We've got how much new credit you have. Of course, that's on debt products. We have the type of credit that you use. That, of course, is debt. We have the amounts that you owe, which amounts that you owe is debt. And we have your payment history. The biggest piece, the 35%, is based on your payment history. But your payment history does not include rent. It does not include your cell phone payment, your cable bill. Those are not debts. Unless, and this will affect your credit score, unless you don't make the payments. Your credit score is not helped at all by how often you pay your cell phone bill on time, your cable bill on time. It's not affected if you rent and you can show, hey, I've rented for the 2 years at this place. Your credit score will not be affected by that unless you don't make the payment. And of course, we're not recommending that you don't make the payment to affect your score, because it's going to affect your score and your credit negatively. So a credit score is not an accurate representation of your entire financial life. It is only evaluating you on your debt history. So when I hear somebody promoting using debt products to build your credit score, of course, that's where I have my beef with them. So what is a credit score supposed to be? It's supposed to be a financial representation of how you pay your bills, but of course, it's not a complete picture. The score is only based on debt, so of course, I don't want to have a good FICO score, but I also don't want to have a bad one. So in my studying and in my research of this credit score and how it affects people in real life, I've come up against some confusing information. See, we have the people out there who say you have to have a good credit score, but a credit score is based on debt, so of course, I don't want to have a good credit score. But I also don't want to have a bad one, so I will pay my bills, but I won't have anything that a credit score can be based upon. It's even in the FICO Q&A that the minimum requirements to have a FICO score is you have to have at least one account that has been open for 6 months or more. And of course, that's going to have to be some kind of a debt product. You'll have to have at least one undisputed account that has been reported to the credit bureau within the past 6 months. And you have to have no indication of being deceased on your credit report. And if you're listening to this right now, then you probably have that last one covered. Now, in full disclosure, I have a credit score because my wife and I have a mortgage. So I do have an account that's been open more than 6 months, and it's a debt. So I wondered what would happen to my credit score after paying off all my debt. And I've spoke to a few people who have done that. They paid off all their credit cards. They paid off all their car loans. They don't have any open accounts. And they paid off their house, and they did it more than 5 years ago. And guess what? They still have a credit score, and a good one at that, which makes no sense. If FICO is evaluating your debts and how you pay them back, and you have had none in the past 5 years, wouldn't you think that your credit score would drop? I mean, you're not showing your payment history. You're not showing that you can borrow money and pay it back, which is the evaluation of a credit score. On his radio show, Dave Ramsey talks about people that he coaches. Well, it's not really him that coaches them. It's more like Lisa Barber, Russ Carroll, and a few other people that actually do the coaching with, you know, one-on-one coaching with people. He talks about how the people that they coach, once they paid off all their debt, including their house, their credit score disappears after 6 months or 12 months, up to 2 years. But I've got people who are telling me they've paid off all their debts over 5 years ago, they have no open accounts, and they still have a good score. So what's the deal? But more importantly, does any of this really matter? This whole thing prompted me to put out a survey. I wanted to find out from people who actually paid off their debts what happened to their credit score. So I asked them 8 questions. Now, let me give you a breakdown of the respondents, and I'm going to do this very quickly because it can get kind of boring and dry. But I had a total of 83 respondents. 66 were married. That's 80% of the respondents were married. I had 1 widowed person, 6 divorcees, and 10 who have never been married. So about 20% were not married. Of those 83 people, 100% have been approved for a credit card. That's not a big surprise. 11 of the 83 people that responded, that's 13%, had never taken out a car loan. That's very interesting to me. That's pretty cool. 77% said they do not have any outstanding consumer debt, and 26 of them said that they were completely debt-free, house and all. 9 of those 26 people had been debt-free for more than 5 years, yet all of them said they had a score greater than 700, except for one who said his score was 0. So I have to wonder what Dave Ramsey is talking about, because I'm not seeing that in the people who responded to the survey. So does paying off your debts hurt your credit score? It's supposed to. That's what all the experts say. The algorithm is based on debts not being debt-free. It can't include things like your salary or your age or how long you've lived in a certain place. And according to the results of my survey, people who have paid off their debts more than 5 years ago, all of them and don't have any debt products, they have a great FICO score and they're not doing anything. Yet we have all these people running around saying, build your FICO score, do this so you have a great FICO score. We just had people who got out of debt and they're not playing the game anymore and they have a great FICO score. It doesn't make sense. We come down to the ultimate question, should I be concerned about my credit score? Well, no. Pay your bills and your debts on time. You'll at least have a good credit score. Pay off all your debts, and it sounds like you'll still have a great credit score. And if your score actually did go to 0, then you could use a service like eCredible to prove your creditworthiness, which, when you think about it, the only reason you need to prove your creditworthiness is to borrow money. If you're out of debt, you're not borrowing money. You're probably saving up and paying cash for things, except in the case of a home. Maybe you need to finance a home. That's fine. The other reasons that people say you need to keep all these debt products and service them and maintain a good credit score are to rent an apartment, which I have a really cool article. I'm going to put a link in the show notes at moneyplansos.com/143. And it links to an article written by Devin Check, who called a bunch of landlords in North Carolina and said, hey, I don't have any debt. I haven't borrowed any money. I don't have a credit score. Will you still rent to me? And his results were really encouraging. Another reason that they say you have to service all these debts and keep a credit score is for better car insurance. Now, I do believe that there is some truth to that, but it's discriminatory. This is what my car insurance agent shared with me when I asked him about this.
You know, it can range from $50 to $100 depending on your credit score. What we call it is it's not a credit score check, but it's what we call a CBR. We rate our CBRs, 1 being the best, 9 being the worst. Most companies actually use this composite score.
So he says that they don't actually use the credit score. They use their own evaluation process, which I don't know how much the score plays into that. But remember, the credit score is based on your credit report, so they very well could just generate their own type of evaluation system off your credit report. But then again, we go back to your credit report doesn't include things like your cell phone payment and your cable bill. At the point where my credit score goes to 0, if he jacks my rate, I'm going to go somewhere else. It would make no sense for an insurance company to not look at the person and say, okay, this person has no debt, including a paid-for house, so he's uninsurable? It doesn't make any sense. So, of course, he's going to give me a good rate. Otherwise, I'll shop it and I'll go with Flo. And the final reason people say you have to keep a good credit score is for a job. Well, that can't be any further than the truth. Yes, your credit report will indicate things that would be a concern for a future employer, but your credit score should not play into that. Your credit report has everything that your credit score is based on. They can evaluate you from that. And if it's blank, you've got no debt, you've got no credit, you've got no problems. And if they still won't hire you, what's up with their hiring practices? Every other reason the financial gurus give you to keep your credit score has to do with debt. And we're not going to maintain or service debt on this show. We're going to talk about eliminating it for good. Oh, and one more thing I want to share with you that came out of that survey. The last question that I asked is if they were concerned about their credit score. And of the 9 people that replied that they were completely debt-free and all for more than 5 years, 8 of them replied no, and 2 of them replied not just no, but not at all. They were not at all concerned. Only one of them was concerned, and it was because he or she said it was because it's the primary number insurance companies use to rate your property and casualty insurance. Well, we just talked about that. So to summarize this entire episode, what happens to our credit scores after we pay off our debt? Well, apparently, not a whole heck of a lot. And if it does go to zero, there are alternatives. And you're probably in a better financial position to argue with those people who do say you need to have a credit score anyway. FICO is doing their job. They're selling your private banking information to lenders who will sell you money. Uneducated consumers are following the herd, and they're getting their information from people who are trying to sell them debt, or possibly a book or a ticket to a seminar. The everyday American is the lowest common denominator when it comes to knowledge about credit scores. And they're the target as well. It's sapping billions of dollars out of Americans' pockets, and yes, I said that out loud, and destroying the future wealth of our people. The Build Your Credit Score game is a distraction. So you need to really pay attention and not interest.
Starting route to MetLife Stadium. Keep left on I-59 north toward Gadsden.
I'm hoping that this segment will shine some light on the problem that we have assigning values to new cars. I was listening to James Kinson's Cash Car Convert podcast again, and he was sharing his story on how he bought a brand new Firebird in the late 70s when he was about 20 years old, and he paid $8,300 for that car. Now, in today's dollars, $8,300 from 1979 or something like that, it's about $28,000, $29,000 if you convert it into today's dollars. And he talked about how all the problems he had and things like that. And I'm thinking, you know what? At the age of 20, buying a new car really doesn't even matter how much you make. I mean, you'd have to make a lot of money for a brand new car to make sense for a 20-year-old. It's ridiculous. And that's kind of what James's point was. He was talking about all the problems he was having and how it was a huge mistake for him to buy that car. As much as that car is sweet, I remember that Firebird, that was a sweet car. But $30,000 in today's dollars, even today, for somebody who's 30 or older, if you're not making a buttload of money and pay cash for the car, it's ridiculous to buy a $30,000 car. A 2-year-old car of the same type, the same make and model, just 2 years older, it's the same vehicle as a brand new car, but for thousands of dollars less. Thousands. I mean, if you think about the depreciation, if you pick up a used vehicle, let's say it's a Toyota Camry or something, you buy a brand new Toyota Camry, it's $30,000. You buy a 2-year-old Camry, it's going to be around $22,000, $23,000. More than likely, that's what you'd pay. And what's the difference? There's not going to be much difference in the two cars. How many problems are going to develop in a car that's 2 years old? Yeah, the new car smell goes away. Is that worth $7,000? There might be a tear in the seat. Well, you know, it's not going to cost you $7,000 to fix it. Some of the polish goes away. Maybe there's a dent. Is that worth $7,000? And to do it on payments, of course, well, that's just ridiculous. So buying a new car is ridiculous at almost any age. And I can almost prove it with just this simple fact, this simple point. Just take this into consideration. Think back to that car that James Kinson bought back in, I think it was 1979. It was an $8,300 car in 1979. How much is that car worth today? Compare that to a new home, a house that was built in 1979. I looked it up. They were going for about $62,000 to $64,000 on average. How much is a home that was built in 1979 worth today? Do the math in your head. Think about it.
In 1.3 miles, take exit 100 toward Huntsville.
Here's a quick action step for you to get motivated about eliminating your debt. Pull out all of your statements for the debts that you owe, your credit cards, your car loans, even your mortgage. Next, grab a calculator and add up the interest that you're paying on these debts. Once you get that total, divide it by your hourly rate at work. If your salary, just divide your check by 80. That'll give you a nice average. The result is the number of hours you have to work to service your debt, not to eliminate it, not to pay it down, just to service the interest that you're paying every single month. If that doesn't motivate you to start making some sacrifices to throw even more money at your debt to eliminate it, then you need to stop listening to this show. But if you're serious about getting out of debt, you need to revisit your spending plan, yes, your budget. And if you don't have a budget, then consider taking the virtual budget coaching course. It's available at moneyplansos.com/start. Get started today. For $97, I walk you through the absolute simplest budget that works, that fosters communication between spouses. It makes you come to a realization of what the true priorities in your financial life are. And it shows exactly how far your money can go when you stick to your money plan. And there's a couple of bonus videos that will walk you through how to start that budget right away. You don't have to wait for the beginning of the month. It'll show you how to start right away. And it'll also teach you how to eliminate your debt in the most successful way possible using the debt snowball. To get started today, go to moneyplansos.com/start. Don't get distracted by your credit score. Go grab your calculator and your statements and get mad about your debt so you can get even.